Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Granthraj, Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 4, Creation of the Fourth Order, Chapter 11, Swayambhuva Manu advises Dhruva Maharaj, texts 24 and 25.
Na chaite putra ka bhratur.
No problem.
I was trying to find your introductory prayer that you usually say.
Oh, it's in the Bhagavad Gita.
No, not that one. The
Om Ajnana.
Obeisances, Vandeham.
Yep, that's all there.
It's Bhagavad Gita.
Yep, introduction.
We're on chapter 4, canto 11, verse 25.
24 and 25. Because 24 has no purport.
Okay. Nachayate putraka bhratur
hantaro dhanu dhanuga
hantaro dhanu dhanuga
visarga dhanayostata
visarga dhanayostata
pumso daivim hikaranam Nachaite putraka bhratur.
Nachaite putraka bhratur.
Hantaro dhanu dhanuga.
Hantaro dhanu dhanuga.
Visarga gadanayostata.
Visarga gadanayostata.
Pumso daivim hikaranam.
Pumso daivim hikaranam.
Nachaite putraka bhratur.
Nachaite putraka bhratur.
Hantaro dhana dhanuka.
Hantaro dhana dhanuka.
Visarga dhana yostata.
Visarga dhana yostata.
Pumso daivim hikaranam.
Pumso daivim hikaranam.
Translation, my dear son, those yakshas who are descendants of Kuvera are not actually the killers of your brother. The birth and death of every living entity are caused by the Supreme, who is certainly the cause of all causes. There's no purport for this verse, but one comment is that if we jump back to chapter 10 and look at text 30, we can see how Swayambhuva Manu is echoing the same instruction which was given to Dhruva Maharaj by the great sages. Text 30 says, all the sages said, dear Dhruva, O son of King Uttanapad, may the Supreme Personality of Godhead, known as Sharanga Dhanva, who relieves the distresses of his devotees, kill all your threatening enemies. The holy name of the Lord is as powerful as the Lord himself. Therefore, simply by chanting and hearing the holy name of the Lord, many men can be fully protected from fierce death without difficulty. Thus, a devotee is saved. So in other words, don't try to save yourself by killing these yakshas. Let the Lord do that. You just call on his holy names. But Dhruva Maharaj couldn't hear that instruction when it was given by the sages who he did not have this personal relationship with. Now that he's hearing it from his grandfather Swayambhuva Manu, he can assimilate this information. And it's a fact that we can have experience of also. If I were to say, you're not your body, okay, it's true. But if Prabhupada says, you're not your body, it has a different effect. There's something about the reverential relationship which allows the information to flow more conducively. And that reverence comes from his purity. Prabhupada's purity. for example. Okay. Text 25. Saiva Vishvam Srijati.
Saiva Vishvam Srijati.
Saiva Patihanti Cha.
Saiva Patihanti Cha.
Atapi Yana Hankaran.
Atapi Yana Hankaran.
Najyate Guna Karma Bhi.
Najyate Guna Karma Bhi.
Saiva Vishvam Srijati.
Saiva Vishvam Srijati.
Saiva Vati Hanti Cha.
Saiva Vati Hanti Cha.
Atapi Yana Hankaran.
Atapi Yana Hankaran.
Najyate Guna Karma Bhi.
Najyate Guna Karma Bhi.
Saiva Vishvam Srijati.
Saiva Vishvam Srijati.
Saiva Vati Hanti Cha.
Saiva Vati Hanti Cha.
Atapi Yana Hankaran.
Atapi Yana
Najyate Guna Karma Bhi.
Najyate Guna Karma Bhi.
Please read.
Saiva Vishvam Srijati.
Saiva Vishvam Srijati.
Saiva Vati Hanti Cha.
Saiva Vati Hanti Cha.
Atapi Yana Hankaran.
Atapi Yana Hankaran.
Najyate Guna Karma Bhi.
Najyate Guna Karma Bhi.
Sa
he
eva
certainly
Vishvam
the universe
Surjati
creates
sa
he
eva
certainly
avati
maintains
hanti
annihilates.
Cha.
Also.
Atha
api. Moreover. He. Certainly. Anahankarat.
Anahankarat.
From being without ego.
From being without ego.
Na.
Na.
Not.
Na.
Ajyate.
Ajyate.
Becomes entangled.
Guna,
by the modes of material nature. Karmabhi, by activities. Translation: the Supreme Personality of Godhead creates this material world, maintains it, and annihilates it in due course of time. But because he is transcendental to such activities, he is never affected by ego in such action, or by the modes of material nature. Purport: in this verse, the word anahankara means without ego. The conditioned soul has a false ego, and as a result of his karma, he gets different types of bodies in this material world. Sometimes he gets the body of a demigod, and he thinks that body to be his identity. Similarly, when he gets the body of a dog, he identifies himself with that body. But for the Supreme Personality of Godhead, there is no such distinction between the body and the soul. Bhagavad Gita, therefore, certifies that anyone who thinks of Krishna as an ordinary human being is without knowledge of his transcendental nature and is a great fool. The Lord says, Namam karmani limpanti. He is not affected by anything he does because he is never contaminated by the material modes of nature. That we have a material body proves that we are infected by the three material modes of nature. The Lord says to Arjuna, you and I had many, many births previously, but I remember everything, whereas you do not. That is the difference between the living entity, or conditioned soul, and the supreme soul. The super soul, the personality of Godhead, supreme personality of Godhead, has no material body, and because he has no material body, he is not affected by any work he executes. There are many Mayavadi philosophers who consider that Krishna's body is the effect of a concentration of the material mode of goodness, and they distinguish Krishna's soul from Krishna's body. This real situation, however, is that the body of the conditioned soul, even if he has a large accumulation of material goodness, is material, whereas Krishna's body is never material. It is transcendental. Krishna has no false ego, for he does not identify himself with the false and temporary body. His body is always eternal. He descends to this world in his own original spiritual body. This is explained in the Bhagavad Gita as Parambhavam. The words Parambhavam and Divyam are especially significant in understanding Krishna's personality. Om Jnana Tmirandasya Yananjana Shalakaya Chakshur Unmilitam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurve Nama Shri Chaitanya Manovishtam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamahyam Tadati Swapadantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Uttapada Kamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavam Shcha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunatanvitam Tam Sajivam Sadvetam Savadhutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakanvitam Shcha He Krishna Kuruna Sindho Dinabandhu Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vancha Kapaturubhyascha Kripa Sindhubhya Evacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shri Vasadi Pura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama Rama Rama, Rama Hare Hare. Sa eva Vishyam Srijati Sa eva bhakti hanti cha atapi hyanahankaran najate guna karma bhi. In the third chapter of Bhagavad Gita, Krishna is speaking to Arjuna, trying to convince him to fight. One of the strains of that chapter is Krishna's convincing Arjuna that if you don't fight, then other people will follow in your footsteps and you'll be the cause of chaos in society because everybody's going to stop doing their duty. They look up to you as a leader. Whatever actions a great man performs, common men follow. And whatever standard he sets by exemplarily acts, the whole world pursues. So it's not acting for your own benefit. Don't worry about whether. Do thou fight for the sake of fighting, without considering loss or gain, victory or defeat, happiness or distress. First, by so acting, you'll never be entangled in sin. So he's telling Arjuna, don't worry about your own outcome. You're already fine. If you are acting in devotional service to me, you're free. So don't act for the for your own benefit. You might argue that, well, if I'm already free simply by devotional service, I'll do some other kind of devotional service. I'm not going to do this fighting. Krishna says, but don't fight for your own sake. Fight because it's your duty, and by doing that duty, it'll teach others who are following in your footsteps to do their duty. You're qualified to not fight. You can still be liberated even by not fighting. But other people will see that Arjuna stopped doing his duty and he got liberated. So I'll also stop doing my duty, and I'll also get liberated. But the difference is that Arjuna's qualified to stop fighting, whereas the rest of society was not qualified. Because Arjuna is transcendentally situated. He's a pure devotee of the Lord. Therefore, he can do anything as an offering to the Lord. But other people are so attached to their family responsibilities, they're attached to their self-conception, their conception of my position in society, that everything they do is to support that false ego, ahankara. Therefore, if they give up their duty, it will be for sense gratification. They'll be giving it up to support their false ego also. And it will not help them to make their activities an offering to Krishna. They're advised, there's two stages of yoga. Yoga Rudha and Yoga Rurukshu. In the beginning, it's said that, in the sixth chapter, in the beginning it is said that work is the means to success in yoga. And when one advances further, cessation of work is said to be the means. So Arjuna was advanced. He was in the position where cessation of work could have been the means for success in his yoga. He could have given up his duty and just focused on the solitary practice of yoga in the forest as a beggar. But other people, if they go off into the forest as a beggar, Prabhupada calls that monkey renunciation. They'll just end up keeping several girlfriends out in the forest. Arjuna would not have, but others would imitate him and fall down. Therefore, a pure devotee, although he's totally qualified not to fight for the sake of leading by example, he does fight. Because other people need to fight. They need to sacrifice their personal interests under the guidance of an authority so that they can learn to be subordinate to spiritual authority. Krishna is the ultimate spiritual authority, and the spiritual master simply repeats Krishna's words. Because Krishna is acting without false ego, he's acting simply for the benefit of every living entity. Bhoktaram yagatapasam sarvaloka maheshwaram Sukradam Sarvabhutanam Yatamam Shantam Richati. He's the best friend of every living entity. And he's qualified. It's not just a sentiment. He's qualified to help every living entity because he's Bhoktaram Yogyatapasam and he's Sarvaloka Maheshwaram. He is the owner of everything. And all sacrifices are meant for his pleasure. Therefore, he can deliver on his loving sentiment. He can actually be the best friend of everyone. And one who takes up his spirit of devotional service to Krishna, making his will one with the will of Krishna. One who takes up that position, his pure devotee, is also Suhridam Sarvabhutanam. He's also the best friend of every living entity. Because he's empowered by Krishna to do his work here. But the devotee never thinks that he is Bhoktaram Yagatapasam and Sarvaloka Maheshwaram. The moment we think that I'm Bhokta, I'm the enjoyer, it's simply a claim. We can just say that, but Krishna Krishna is actually that. And it's a step toward thinking that Krishna is just like me. Chanakya Pandit says that everyone thinks others to be like himself. It's a very insightful statement. This sentiment is expressed in the ninth chapter of Bhagavad Gita, text 11. Could you read the Sanskrit for it? Because I don't have the Sanskrit committed to memory. 9:11. It's very significant that it's 9:11 also, because if we have this consciousness, there's a spiritual emergency. 9:11.
Avajananti ma mudha manushim atanum vashitam param bhavam vajananto mamabhudha maheshram.
So, one who... Oh, the fools and rascals deride me when I descend to this human form. They think... thinking that I'm an ordinary human being. They don't know my supreme nature as Mama Bhuta Maheshwaram, as the Supreme Lord of all that be. They think Krishna is an ordinary human being. Srila Prabhupada referred to this verse in today's purport, that the Mayavadis think this way. When Srila Prabhupada first came to the U.S., there was no translation of Bhagavad Gita into English that he could recommend. And he speaks a little about that in the introduction to his Bhagavad Gita. In India, Prabhupada had translated Bhagavad Gita into English, but it was unfortunately lost. The whole manuscript was absconded with. So he couldn't bring it. Only later, after he came to America, did he again translate Bhagavad Gita as it is, with the full parampara commentary. So in the meantime, when he wanted to give a lecture on Bhagavad Gita, he would have the devotees read from the translation of other translations of Bhagavad Gita, and he would give his own purport. Because the translation is less important than the purport, actually. Translation, almost anyone can do, especially of Bhagavad Gita, because it's fairly rudimentary Sanskrit compared to Srimad Bhagavatam. And one of the translations he would use was Dr. Radhakrishnan's Bhagavad Gita translation. And he would often comment how the commentary was not according to the parampara, because it says in one place where Krishna says, Manmana bhava madbhakto madhyajimam namaskuru. Bow down. Become my devotee, bow down to me, offer your homage and prayers unto me. In this way, surely you will come to me. It's 9:27. Can you see if it's 9:27, if I'm off or not? That might be Yat Karoshi Rashnasi.
Yeah, 27 is
Yat Karoshi Rashnasi. I think Manmana Bhakto should be around that there in one of the two adjacent verses. Maybe
26.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. I'm off. I can't remember where it is then. Well, that verse, if... the way Dr. Radhakrishnan translated it.
34.
Oh, 34. Can you please read the translation?
Manmana bhava madbhakto madhyajimam namaskuru mame vaishyasi yuktayuktvayam atmanam madhvarayana.
translation.
Engage your mind always in thinking of me. Become my devotee. Offer obeisances to me and worship me. Being completely absorbed in me, surely you will come to me.
Yeah, so Dr. Radhakrishnan translated almost identically, except instead of surely you will come to me, he made it say, surely you will become me. So there were a few exceptions where Prabhupada changed the translation, even during giving class. But mostly it was a problem with the commentary, because when Krishna says, sarva dharman parityaja mam ekam sharanam braja, surrender unto me alone, give up all other varieties of religion and just surrender unto me, Dr. Radhakrishnan's commentary said, it is not to Krishna who you are to surrender, but to the unborn within Krishna and within us all. So he was drawing a distinction between Krishna and Krishna's body. He was, in other words, saying that Krishna's body is material. This is exactly the problem that Krishna's talking about in 9:11.
It's a really blatant mistranslation too, because Krishna says Eshasi, which comes from E, to go. And in most languages, go and come are pretty much the same thing. So you will go or you will come. So to say you become is just an outright mistranslation.
Yeah. We're very fortunate to have Prabhupada. Krishna's body is never material. It is transcendental. Ishwara Parama Krishna Satchidananda Vigraha. His body is Satchidananda. It's eternal. Full of knowledge, full of bliss. Our body is asat, achit, and nirananda. It's temporary, full of ignorance, and miserable. I'd heard Prabhupada say that a few times when I was first hearing his classes, and I didn't quite get how the body is full of ignorance. But he explained it once in a class. He said, full of ignorance means that you have to go to school. You don't know until you're educated. That's a very nice way of understanding it. Very simple. We pray, Om Ajnana Timirantasya. Om Ajnana, I'm born into ignorance. Timirantasya, the darkness of ignorance. Ajnana Jana Shalakaya, Chakshur Unmilitam Yena Tasmai Shri Guru Vena. The spiritual master is opening our eyes with the torchlight of knowledge. So we're offering our humble obeisances to him. What kind of darkness of ignorance are we born into? Yes, we don't know geometry, so we have to go to school for geometry. But the darkest ignorance we're born into is thinking that I'm this body. The first thing that happens when we're born is the doctor says, it's a boy. Immediately, we're thinking, I'm a boy. Even the doctor thinks I'm a boy. And he's the most educated person, but he's in the same ignorance as the baby. And the parents are also. Enamored with the body. Identifying the person as the body. So it's natural that there's a lot of depression, because we're thinking that, well, what is the body? Nitrogen, oxygen, chemicals, like tridhatuke. The Sanskrit describes the body as a bag, kunape tridhatuke, a bag of three chemicals, the three dhatus, kapha, vayu, and pitta. Kapha means mucus, just like we say cough, kapha, kapha, Vayu air and Pitta. And the air in the body doesn't smell nice. It's like, you know, gross air. Kapha, Vayu, and Pitta, which is acids or fire. We're thinking that that's who I am. I'm acids, mucus, bile, air. No wonder we're depressed. It seems nice because it's covered with a thin layer of skin. But if you take that off, oh, it's quite ghastly. They used to preach like this a lot in the 70s. They'd say, you think your girlfriend or your boyfriend is so beautiful, but just open him or her up. This kind of hardcore preaching. But it's a nice point also for internal meditation. Even Shankaracharya gave that argument in one of his prayers. I forget why, but I think they call it the hammer prayer for some reason, because it just smashes illusion. It talks about how the skin is the covering for all this nasty stuff inside. So if we're thinking that I'm these things, it's natural that we'll be depressed. We'll want to get intoxicated, forget about that. Get mental, go to the mental plane. But even the mind is not who we are. If we can, and that's also a relief, because our mind is totally undependable. It drags us here and there, unwillingly. There's a lot of involuntary thinking, which goes on, useless, repetitive thinking. The same thoughts going over and over again. And we don't even get to choose that. Like a radio, which is broken and is constantly playing, we can't turn it off. Therefore, Savai Mana Krishna Pararavindayo, it's recommended to absorb your mind in the lotus feet of Krishna. His lotus feet. Are the source of fearlessness. Bhajahure mana Sri Nandanandana Abhaya Charanaravinda Re. We should worship that. Sri Nandanandana, the blissful son of Nanda Maharaj. Abhaya Charanaravinda Re. Srila Prabhupada's name is Abhaya Charanaravinda Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. So Abhaya Charanaravinda Re means it's fearless at the lotus feet of Krishna. That's what happens when we surrender to Krishna. We become fearless. Bhoktaram Yagatapasam Sarvaloka Maheshwaram Suhridam Sarvabhutanam. What's the result of knowing Krishna in these three ways? Yatvamam shantam rishati, become peaceful, free from all anxiety, free from the depression of identifying with this body, free from the fear of identifying with the mind, which is always projecting into the future that I need to be there. If I'm going to be happy, I need to go to this place. Or, I used to be happy back then, but now gone. Free from the mode of passion and the mode of ignorance. Fully conscious of my relationship with Krishna. That's available right now. So therefore peaceful. you like to add anything?
Well, I would like to ask you something about yourself. You said that the mind is like a radio that is difficult to turn off, or that something is wrong with it. And you are, I'm one of those people, especially because I'm like borderline ADD, and things are always playing in the mind. And does any of that change after you start living an austere life, you know, as a kind of temple? Are you still dealing with the same background noise that the rest of us are dealing with?
If I'm keeping I stay in the company of persons who are enthusiastic about spiritual consciousness, then my consciousness is affected. I feel enthusiastic also. But in any case, whether I'm that, so that's a very nice thing. If that's an option, if we have that luxury of association with devotees, that's very much recommended. But in any case, whether we are alone, whether we're in good company, or whether we're in company where we would rather not be, if as long as we have a guidance, we know what my service is at this moment, right now. I know what my service is every moment of the day, at any given moment, I should say. Then if I'm fully attentive to that service, then whatever the mind does doesn't matter because I'm not identifying with the mind. Yeah, that's going on. Just like there may be a knee ache. Okay, that's going on, but I'm not that knee. In the same way, whatever is going on in the mind is happening out there in the external energy, but right now I have a service, and I'm just fully attentive to that service. Living in the temple has its set of advantages in the sense that my services are fairly straightforward. I'm cooking, I'm cutting vegetables, I'm sweeping the floor, I'm cleaning, I'm answering questions for guests and for my spiritual master's students. I do internet preaching for him. I do RTs. I'm ringing a bell, I'm waving incense, I'm blowing a conch shell. It's fairly simple, but at the same time, especially here in US, you have to deal with doing that alone without a lot of social support. So there will be some kinds of give and take in any service you take. There's two things in devotional service for everybody. Whether you live in an ashram or you live outside, you've made your home into an ashram. Everyone has nectar and medicine. That's pretty much devotional service. There's nectar and there's medicine. Some things are very satisfying to do for Krishna, and some things are a sacrifice. One person's sacrifice will be different than another's, though, and that's fine. But we all need association. That's why it's an international society for Krishna consciousness. This is actually concept of strength in numbers is represented in Vedic culture by a bundle of rods, which are tied together. And this is a familiar concept probably for us because it's also the symbol that was unfortunately used by the fascists. Fascia means rods, like that. So their idea was strength in numbers. If you have a bundle of rods, they cannot be broken. You might break one rod, but not a bundle. But the real, the original knowledge of that numerical strength was also known in Vedic culture.
So the idea is to achieve like a steadiness, and when we're in our beginning stages, it's the association that helps the process up and keep us steady when we're just naturally new and unable to keep focus. And when you find yourself able to keep steadiness regardless of the situation.
It's recommended that when your skin begins to become wrinkled and you see the children of your children, it's time to take sannyas. That's in Manu Smriti. Generally, that is age 50, the second half of your life. It's time to renounce, to retire. Vanaprast and sannyas begin at that point. But in our Krishna consciousness society, the sannyasis also have association with the society for the sake of preaching. Just like Arjuna, he could have given up work and went to the forest, but for the sake of giving a good example, he's recommended to do his duty. So the sannyasis also do the duty of preaching, so that everyone will also try to preach on what little level they can. But at the same time, may not be required to take sannyas if your family is Krishna conscious. Vanaprast may be sufficient. Vanaprast is when the man can go and travel to holy places, and he may also take his wife. She can also travel with him. But they're celibate now. And they're not working a job anymore. Retired life. My Guru Maharaj is a Vanaprast, for example. He and his wife travel and preach. Krishna's Guru was also Sandipani Muni. He was also married. So sannyas may not be absolutely required, but internally, everyone is meant to be a sannyasi. Sannyas means to lay things down in their proper place. And where is that? At the lotus feet of Krishna. That's internal sannyas, to offer everything that you have to Krishna. What can we renounce? We don't own anything in the first place. We can renounce the false conception that I'm the owner and the enjoyer. We can renounce our ahankara. Anahankara was used in this verse. Anahankaran. Krishna has no false ego. We should also have no false ego. That would be sannyas. That's a nice goal to aspire for. There's a lot of points to go over that could be expanded on in this verse, but there's just not time. Grantharaj Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai, Prabhupada Ki Jai.